Yeah.
It's 7 o'clock. I'd like to call the meeting in order. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. This is Zoning Board of Adjustment for Candia. This is July 23rd. Sitting to my left is Jude Zott. I'm Bob Petron. Mark Ramakaitis, Boyd Chivers, Ron Howe. Lisa Felicia is our recording secretary. Ingrid Burr is not here tonight for the record.
Yes.
And alternate Mark Ramakaitis will sit in her place. Would you be so kind to read the first case, please?
Case number 19-006, applicant Edwin Ellis, 177 Deerfield Road, Candia, New Hampshire, 03034. Owner same, property location same, map 406, lot 177, for a variance under Article 5, Section 502B3, Table of Use Regulations, type of land use, commercial. Intent, to produce and sell on a small scale baked goods as well as gift shop items from my home, which was once a general store.
Very good, thank you. Have the abutters been notified?
Yes.
Any abutters present this evening? You will have a chance to speak at some point during the proceedings, if you'd wish. Right. Mr. Ellis, would you be so kind to approach the table and state your case?
All right, pull it over here. There you go.
Does that work?
It does.
Well, I would like to sell baked goods out of what used to be the general store. Definitely on a small scale. Don't want to have too much traffic, too much business, too much disruption down there. And my business partner sells cloth diapers. She makes like little cat toys, just little trinkets basically. Nothing too big. No high volume, nothing like that. That's basically it.
That's it. And you live at that location?
Yes, I do.
Is there any, Dave? Is there any reason to believe traffic would be a problem there?
No problem at all. The only reason we're going through this procedure really is because the store was closed for 2 years, so we kind of had to stop the process.
And people were pulling it off the drive of
same
the right
was.
Of way. So right. We're just going to.
If it did expand, he does have an option there. He does have a long driveway and some area out back if it did get to that problem. Mm. For now, it seems it was. I don't think it's going to be a problem.
Okay.
Small scale.
All right. Excellent. Any questions from the board? Comments? Mark?
Hours of operation, please.
Well, I work at the post office till 1:30 every day. Uh-huh. So it won't be till 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, evening, till 6, 6:30, maybe 7. So it's going to be a part-time thing, pretty much.
So it's not a nighttime open until 11 p.m.
No.
Yeah, what about weekends?
Bed by 7:30. Probably a couple hours on a Saturday and Sunday afternoons. Sunday afternoon seems to be like a lot of people seem to be out, and so it won't be every day. I still gotta put the place back together.
Yeah. Is there any other things that would be of concern, like maybe having waste oil or something like that, cooking waste oil?
No.
Is that something that's got to be dealt with? There's not a can or a drum of that somewhere.
Nope. Any oil I use will be baked.
Okay.
And there's no public restroom. It's not going to be a sit-down cafe type of deal. I mean, people can hang out. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. But I don't want to have a cafe type of ordeal going on down there. Kind of just like come in, get what you need, chat for a few.
Sure. Very good. Any comments from the abutters? No comments. Ron?
I did have a question, and I don't know, did you get a chance to talk to Mike in terms of traffic?
I didn't.
At all?
I didn't.
I did.
Okay. Good for you, Lisa.
You brought it to me, so
yeah,
I did talk
okay.
to him about it.
What came of that?
The same thing that Dave said, if there was if it was something new, there might be an issue, but because people know of it and it's basically historical,
it's tough getting in and out of there, we all know that, but...
But people are aware of it.
I don't know how you can make it any better.
Well, you know, Ron, what I used to do when I would go there is, when I pulled off the highway, I'd pull straight off and then back. It's wide enough that you could pull straight off and back in, so you're driving out, not backing out.
Yeah,
because backing out was always sort of a, like, I don't think anybody's coming, cross your fingers, and you went, hoping that no one was coming. And I know that since, in the years since I've been going there, which is a long time, or was going there, that the traffic has increased significantly. That's my only concern, is that that's that S-curve. They're coming down there, even though it's a 30-mile-an-hour zone, they're going 50, because they've just come down that long hill from Deerfield. And that's my only concern, and I don't know if there's some kind of stipulation that if the traffic becomes a problem, then he's going to have to make other arrangements for traffic. But it's very easy, even when there were cars there, it is easy to pull off and then back in so that you're going out, and there's, I think, room maybe for 5 or 6 cars in the front.
I think the mortgage said 8. Small cars, compact.
I guess.
One has to go.
My
car,
6.
Yeah. Yeah.
5. But I think you can get 5 or 6 cars in the front, and so the only, I would think that if you know, the special exception was granted, that there would be some kind of stipulation that if we could look at, that we have the building inspector may at some time come back and make some other recommendations of parking that Mr. Ellis would then have to accede to, if traffic and things became a problem.
Probably be a collaboration with the police department.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely. That, but I mean, it's as long as I've lived in Candia, it's been a store.
And I don't see it as a conditional item.
No, I mean, I can't see denying this.
Theoretically, when people start going there, and then people know that there might be traffic coming in and out, maybe they'll learn.
Hmm?
Or, I mean, it's something that you can suggest, that it's easier, you know, if you pull out and then back in, that it's easier to get out here. Because at least then you're looking out and you can kind of creep out and see if someone's coming. When you're backing out, you've got a significant part of your car out there before you can see if somebody's coming from the Deerfield side. Because it's always the Deerfield side. And unfortunately, it's down in the hollow, so people are coming in both directions, are coming down a hill.
Yeah.
And they're often going faster than the posted speed limit.
Then it's easier to go in a forward motion than just to back out, then stop and go forward.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
The only other, it really goes to the hours, and I appreciate that you're going to have a limited operation, but you're going to sell and move to that big Winnipesaukee lakefront property someday, and someone else is going to come in, and they're going to want to be open till 11 o'clock because they want to do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that may be something the neighbors aren't going to appreciate. So do we put a time that says, you know, normal business hours are no later than 9 o'clock? I don't know what the old, what the country
Marie's
store
was,
had.
Marie's was open until 11.
11, yeah.
There so often wasn't anybody down there.
No.
Right.
But, I mean, if you had a video and you had to get it back by 11, she was open until 11.
Right. So that would be my only, something we consider or not?
I recognize your point. I'm not certain it's something we need to consider, unless any of you disagree with that.
Well, the thing is, I suppose it could be something that could be stipulated, and then if there was a question about making the hours longer because, for whatever reason,
you're very successful,
the person could come back and they can request an extension of the hours. I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah, you would have no objection to a time limit of 9 o'clock. It's not even within your thought process at this point. So basically, it's a potential protection for the future against an operation that, once this one's approved, the next operation
goes with the building.
Has an open,
that's right.
Yeah. Open cap,
no, that's a, you know? It's a good point. It goes with the building.
Right.
And I don't know, Jim, do you have any problems with that? I mean, like 11 or just 9 o'clock, having the hours till 9?
No, just for the record, Jim, Nancy Franklin, 173 Deerfield Road. We are the neighbors just to the right as you pull in the store. And we've been there since 1984, and I will recall, best of my recollection, is three accidents there in that time period. And one was where someone had left their child in the car who had pulled the into neutral and pulled out into the road. That was so in that time period. And people are used to something happening there.
And as I said, you figured out the best way to get in and out of there. For me, it was always pull straight in and then back into the building. And then I knew I could. It was easier than trying to pull a big SUV out of that space and back in. You know, you've got three quarters in the road before you can see what's coming from Deerfield.
I'm assuming it would be up to the state, but what's the possibility of getting a sign on either side of that entering and turning traffic or something like that to warn people? Yeah, you know, I agree. It's never been a problem, but it certainly has the potential.
Or have the police enforce the 30-mile speed limit there, because it comes as you come down that hill. The problem is you come down that hill, and as you get to the bottom of the hill, right around New Boston Road, that I think it turns to 30.
Yeah.
And so then you're coming down and you're going into that blind S curve.
Yeah.
And I think that's why that it reduces so drastically there from the 45 or 50 that it is coming down out of Deerfield.
It's only 35 coming down.
Is it?
It's 35 coming down. I think it drops.
But I think you know you're not paying attention. Your car gets away from you, and then maybe the police need to. If there's a problem, the police need to. But it hasn't. As Jim said, there have been
three
accidents since that.
Yep.
All right. No more questions or comments. We'll close it to the public.
And what about a signage? Could I put I need to advertise some kind of way up front?
Dave, would you speak to that?
Signage is a planning board.
If you're going to attach it to the building, it's not a problem. If you want to put a post, actually, there's an existing way about that. So if it wasn't any bigger than what was already on that sign, you'd be okay. You'd have to come pull a sign from it. But that's a pretty small sign, actually, out there, right? What's it like, 2x2 maybe or something?
I don't have a sign there at all. It's got that giant iron pole.
Just a pole.
Yeah.
Well, so you have to come in for a sign permit, and we have to go over the regulations for that, which are allowed.
The 30-foot neon banana?
Not a 9-foot banana or anything.
Yeah. All right.
Illuminated.
That's actually residential down there, so you'd probably be limited. How would you want to handle that as a board? Commercial use in a residential district, how would you do that?
It's two different things, because he didn't ask for a sign, so I think it's going to be a separate application.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that a planning issue?
Have to go to the ZBA. No. I should be able to handle that.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering, commercial, residential.
If the sign's on the building.
The residential district. It's on the building.
It's on the building,
right? It's on the building, but he wants to put one on the post.
I don't know what I want to do.
It's a little different deal.
If you haven't gotten there yet, I would suggest that we just hold off and you see Dave for a sign permit.
Okay.
Go over the regulations, and it might be a no-brainer, or it might be a planning board issue.
If I'm involved, it's definitely a no-brainer.
All right. I'm going to close it to the public, and if Boyd would be so kind to bring us through that special exception, which is also...
I attached that
table of use, right?
To the packet for you guys, so you didn't have to worry about going through everything.
Oh, okay. So you want to go...
So it's 502. I think we're right here, right, Boyd?
1502.
That's from your book. It's sticky.
Right at the top?
Yeah.
That's the one, right?
That's correct. Right.
And so we already decided, the first one is about zoning, is that right?
Well, what are we doing here now? What you want to go with the special exception standards?
I think we do. It's for table of use regulations.
I only included this just so you guys had reference to what he was applying for, the 502B, under what it was.
Yeah.
And then I gave you this here, the special exception uses for you, Boyd, mainly,
okay,
so that you can just read through. Because it won't be the five criteria that you guys are going through.
He's entitled to run a service establishment in a residential district with a special exception, but they have to meet the following standards, and that's in section 1502 of the ordinance. The first one is no hazard to the public or adjacent property on account of potential fire, explosion, or release of toxic materials,
That's correct. And we'll vote on those as we go through them, yeah?
Sure.
Yeah.
Agree.
Yeah, all agree?
Agree.
Yep.
Number two, no detriment to property value in the vicinity or change in the neighborhood on account of the location or scale of the buildings or other structures. Parking areas, accessways, odor, smoke, gas, dust, or other pollutants, noise, glare, heat, vibration, or unsightly outdoor storage of equipment, vehicles, road, and materials. Agreed?
Agreed.
Agreed.
Yep.
Number three.
We never asked anything about fans or anything, cooking fans or oven fans, or because that falls under the oven fans, but I don't know how loud they are. I would think.
Well,
I don't know that it's an issue, especially with operating hours. Well, it's different from operating hours, isn't it?
It's during the daytime, yeah. Yep. So.
Number three, no creation of a traffic safety hazard or substantial increase in the level of traffic congestion in the vicinity.
Agreed. No safety hazard. Agreed.
Agree.
Number four, no excessive demand on municipal services, including but not limited to the water, sewer, waste disposal, police and fire, and schools.
Agreed.
Agreed.
Yep. Agreed.
And the last one is number five, no significant increase of stormwater runoff onto adjacent property or streets.
Agreed.
Agreed.
Okay. So they met the standards.
They've met the standards. I'd entertain a motion.
Having met the standards, I move we grant.
And there are no special exception conditions that we want to add. Is that correct?
Right.
We talked about
a
9 o'clock thing.
We talked about the nine o'clock thing, and because there is a whole section of conditions that can be added, and I think the only one we talked about was the time.
Did you want to?
Which number was time?
Number five.
Well, it's
number five.
Be number five, 15:35.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to, again, this is for future protection.
It makes sense.
In the unknown.
Sure.
Okay.
Yep.
So I just whatever motion we, do we have to?
Set a time, and that's part of the stipulation.
Is that part of the motion?
It's part of the motion.
Okay. Yeah. So.
Well, yes, but you could do it, we could talk about it here, then we'll put it in the motion.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
in the motion, we'll just stipulate latest opening. Sure. Closing time.
No operation after 9 p.m. at night.
9 p.m. No retail operation.
No retail operation.
Because if the gentleman wants to work in his own kitchen, I don't see where that's an issue.
Right.
Okay.
It's basically a traffic and noise issue
for
the neighbors, is where I'm coming from.
Yep.
Okay.
So you were on track with the motion, and I think we just add that time.
Sure. Okay, then I move we approve the special exception, provided they have no operations after the hour of 9
retail p.m. operations.
Beg your pardon?
Retail
operations after 9 p.m.
Okay, and yes. So the motion is documented, is that correct?
Yes.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
And Mark will second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. It appears that you've been granted your special exception.
You'll
receive a notice of decision.
Thank you.
And good luck with your future endeavors.
Okay.
Awesome. Thanks.
Right. Thank you.
Cooking legally now. I'm cooking.
Okay, where's the cookies?
Yeah. It's going to be convenient. I know.
Next item on the agenda, we wanted to review Anthony Steinmetz's interest in serving on the board. Okay. For those of you who have not met Anthony, here he is, Anthony Steinmetz.
Hi.
We had just a loose discussion before you all got here. We started with a meeting.
Yeah.
Good man.
Anthony does have an interest to join the board and get involved. What more can we ask for than that?
Mr. Steinmetz, could you tell us about yourself and your experiences? And
not much experience in this area. I've worked for the federal government for a long time, as with the General Services Administration from 1978 through 2015. I was with the Federal Acquisition Service, and what I did was go around to companies and do contract compliance in certain areas.
How long have you been in Candia?
Since 1993, October.
Good.
And, I just, as we were discussing, I was reading the minutes and decided that it sounds pretty interesting and something that I think I'd like to try, as opposed to continuously watching documentaries on Netflix.
You'll find this much more rewarding.
Well, it's a steep learning curve, but there are classes that you can take, and we're working on, I've got some things here that we're going to bring up later about alternates sitting on the board and working with the board, little changes in our procedure, so that we would ask that, you know, that you attend every meeting, and with the changes, we're hopeful if they pass that you'd be sitting with the board. You wouldn't be able to, once the meeting is closed, participate in the discussions, decision making, but you could ask questions and we have lots of information to give you that you can read, so you don't have to look at the documentaries on Netflix.
I have a question, because I'm not familiar with this at all. Was I permitted to ask a question during that time that this gentleman was being
visual?
Yes, sir. As a member of the audience, anyone can come in and ask. Okay. You don't have to be in a butter.
Because I was going to ask, and please don't laugh, if his establishment, although it's only 6 to 8 parking spots, would one of those be required to be like a handicapped parking spot?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that.
Yes, I think so.
In theory, yes, it should.
Yes, but I think he does have to have a handicapped parking
space. But the business isn't handicapped accessible.
The building is not ADA compliant.
So
it's a store. It's not feasible.
It's not feasible. I mean, by the time you put a ramp in there, you'd have no parking lot. Yeah.
Chris just mentioned that to me tonight.
She can't
get up the stairs.
Who can't?
Handicap parking spot.
I'm trying to think. Did she have a handicap sign up there at one point?
I think she did. I was going to say right by the door.
You know, for what it's worth, I think she did have a sign there.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, sometimes the other thing is there are people who have handicap permits that just have difficulty walking, that they can get up the stairs, that they don't need a ramp, mm-hmm. they can't walk a long distance, and
right.
That maybe Dave, and this probably was something that you could address with him when you're going through the construction stuff, that maybe there's railings or something. So that someone, to assist someone who's trying to get up the I know there's only like, I think as I recall, it's like two steps.
Two or three steps
in the door, stepping over the threshold or something. Yeah.
How did we miss that? How come it's not in some of the criteria? I mean,
that's a great question. But see, that would have been good for him to be sitting on the board here.
Wouldn't that be... another jurisdiction.
It would.
It might be an operator's license from the state.
Or it might be something that the building inspector addresses. Yeah. Is that?
Yeah. Right. I've kind of been over it down there with the store. It's just not feasible down there to make it 100%. But we can do what we can to make it a little bit better.
Yeah, you put a decal on the window.
And then if there's a complaint, then they'll have to address. And I don't know how you do that, but. I mean, the store was there.
If it's not feasible,
I've been in town for 50 years, and the stores.
Yeah, but you can't do it.
You can't do it.
That's the way it is. If it was a new building, it would be 100%.
How long has that been a store?
As long as I've been in Candia, 50 years.
Well, I know that, but I mean, had that been a store for the past 100 years or something?
Yeah, probably in the 30s anyway.
Yeah?
Back in the 30s, yeah.
So, you know, it really was grandfathered well before ADA ever existed.
Yeah, and I don't know what the ADA rules are about that. Well, and that's again, I think
you have to make reasonable accommodations.
Yeah, and I think that's all with Dave's office. I think that's not
when
that's
I was
not us.
At Pinkerton, the Pinkerton building, which is a huge, big old building with steps going up it every which way. You know, we had to make accommodations. If there was a parent conference, you had to move the conference, or, you know, they might have to make accommodations to bring a tray of whatever he's got for sale out to the person. But I suspect that that's the kinds of things that
you would sometimes.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Okay. So what the process would be next would be to submit your letter of intent to the Board of Selectmen. They'd review that and...
And we'll submit it with a letter of recommendation from our board recommending that they appoint you as an alternate to the board.
The Selectmen met last night, so they won't meet for another 2 weeks, so...
But we won't meet before then, so...
Right. So if you're still in agreement, we'd like to go ahead and proceed that way, if you would.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
I have another, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I wonder if I get a...
This is your time.
...application here. Tonight, the board approved a special exception.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was a variance for one after you were going to...
Another good question. It does say variance under 502, but we did visit 502, didn't we?
Yes.
He doesn't need a variance.
Well, he does technically.
Oh, shoot.
Then why did we put special exception once?
Table of land use.
The use has been abandoned for more than a year, so they gave it...
2 years. It's 2 years.
1 year under abandonment.
I thought it was two.
Well...
No, it's a year.
Is it one?
202D. So...
But it's been two since the store was open.
So they gave up their right to a commercial enterprise in the residential district, but he just reapplied for a special exception, and that kind of revives the whole thing. I was going to bring this up, but the fact that he applied for a special exception just starts this off on a new...
Further down the road.
Okay? I mean, he could have applied under either one, under 202D for a variance, or under 503 for a special exception. So we just said, well, we'll just start the process all over again. Give him a special exception to operate that in the R district, in the residential district.
Okay.
Except that the notice is flawed.
Right, because Mr. Steinmetz pointed out, I didn't even catch that.
Yeah, I didn't catch it either. The notice is flawed.
But if you look at the application here, it says a special exception is provided in
503.
I didn't see the notice.
I took away the leg on it.
I thought the reason that we had, I had written it like that because it had to be the variance, but it was under a special exception rule. That's why I put that in there.
Okay. That's a little confusing right there. So, I think
for the notice of decision,
I think we're covered.
Just put under. So should I just say?
Next time, we'll just...
I think you've got it right down here.
Yeah, I do. We do have it there.
Mm-hmm.
But when I do the notice of decision, should I do under special exception or for a variance?
No, you should do it under special exception.
Okay.
Because that's what we voted on tonight, and that's the criteria we went through.
Right. Next time we'll maybe spend...
Because it's not noticed for a special exception, it should have been.
Yeah.
And we should have caught that.
Okay.
Okay.
So we've dispensed with Tony Steinmetz.
Yes, we probably should send a letter saying that we would ask that, with his letter asking that he be appointed, that we would...
That would require a motion and a vote. Joe, do you want to make that motion?
Yes, I'd like to make a motion that we send a letter to the Board of Selectmen asking that they approve Mr. Steinmetz's request to be an alternate member of the Zoning Board of Adjustment.
Well said. Second on that? Ron?
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Any other business to come before the board?
Yes, I would like to propose...
And then we'll do minutes approval.
Okay, I would like to propose some changes to our bylaws. And I would like to... First, about board, have we heard anything from Christine, back from Christine, about whether or not the town has ever approved using of the use of alternates?
No, and I asked Andrea to look it up too. So Andrea's working on it. I haven't heard it from either
one.
Okay,
yes,
I did. Okay. Did you see the email I sent to Andrea?
Yes, I did. Yeah. Okay. I was just asking if you had heard anything.
Yes, I did. Because I emailed her the day that I heard.
Yeah, and I know you sent it to
it.
Me.
Yep.
And what did you find out?
It's not in any type of legislative that we have ever had. So
okay.
So you're saying if we put it in our bylaws, we're good?
No.
Yes and no.
It's different for the planning board.
So there's two things. You have to pass, the town has to pass the enabling legislation that allows us to use alternates. Apparently somewhere the state has required the use of the required that the towns pass the legislation that allows the use of alternates for their boards. Then we in turn, and then we have to put it in our bylaws how we're going to use our alternates. So I suppose we could, I mean, I don't see why we can't put something in our bylaws how we use our alternates now, but also let the selectmen know that they, this is something that needs to, Boyd, this is something that needs to be on the ballot in March for a zoning change that
so allows. We've never officially done that, have we?
Pardon me?
We've never had a warrant article that.
Obviously not, and I don't know when. And the thing is, I had asked Christine to find out.
Right, there was nothing.
But when the state passed that section, it tells us about
2010. It was passed in 2010, that section that we looked at.
So we'd have to look at all the town meetings after 2010.
But they haven't. It hasn't.
And it hasn't.
Okay.
We haven't done it.
She said.
So
we should craft it.
I would have hoped that our attorney would have sent us a letter saying this is new legislation, you need to do this.
Well, it didn't happen.
Obviously, it didn't happen. So we need to, the selectmen need to pass put a warrant article in to allow this. Okay. And then. Because since this was passed, if the towns haven't passed this enabling legislation for this, then someone could question if, like you're sitting now on the board, someone could question because the use of an alternate, because they'd say you're not legally allowed to do it.
The town's never authorized the use of alternates.
Yes, the town hasn't.
Yeah.
So there's two things. There's the two different things. The town has to authorize it, then the boards have to set up the things. But I don't see why we can't set up our bylaws that allow us to have the use of alternates. And what I was proposing was and Boyd will probably look at this and see what he thinks about it later. But in our bylaws, there's a section on meetings, and there's something that says. It talks about a quorum for regular business shall consist of three members, blah, blah. And then I thought after that we would put two sections. One that said, alternate members shall sit with the full board members and may participate in all discussions during public hearings. Then I use the word shall because we know shall means mandatory. If we say may, it means they can or they cannot. If we want them to sit packet that we got from the state on how the boards work suggests and recommends that alternate members sit because it's how they learned how to work with the board.
That would be all alternates?
All alternates would sit on the board would sit at the table, and during the public hearing they would participate. So Mr. Steinmetz could have at that, if he was sitting with the board, could have made those comments that he felt were important. Then the second part says, the next section would say, once the public hearing is closed, alternate members shall not participate in deliberations on any application unless they are replacing a full member who is absent or has disqualified himself or herself. And again, the law is very specific that they recommend that they sit in at the hearings.
Yeah.
But once we get the hearing is closed and we get the deliberations, then they have to remain silent. They cannot in any way participate in the discussions or influence the discussions in any way.
Okay.
Yep. Okay.
To further this.
Go ahead. No, you go, Ron. I remember what I'm going to say.
Okay. To further this, I just wonder if it wouldn't be appropriate to have signs like we have over here for the members versus the alternate. So it's very obvious to the audience that the people sitting here that Mark's an alternate and not a member. I mean, you mentioned that, but I just wonder if...
I don't know why we've never had signs.
I don't know. I asked you a couple of meetings ago. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know why we've never had them.
I think it would be appropriate so that everybody recognizes who the alternates are and who the actual members are.
Well, I think, if I may step into your comment, if the alternate is here replacing somebody,
then that's
maybe the sign says active, whatever you want.
Yeah, yeah.
When someone's making comments in there, an alternate with no deliberative capability, you know, maybe that. But we announced it at the beginning, so is it really, board members are going to know.
And it's on the record.
Bob introduces everybody.
And that takes place in our roll call.
Okay.
We don't want to get too formal here.
No, I'm not looking to get formal. I just was
trying
to alleviate.
We're going to have to make sure we identify for the record.
What your point is, when the room is filled with something contentious.
We haven't been able to do that in years.
Well, not since we dealt with the cell tower.
All right, so moving on, two parts here. First, we have to talk about this meeting and then vote on it in a subsequent meeting.
No.
Okay.
Two meetings.
Two meetings.
That's what I said.
Two meetings. This has to be discussed at two meetings and at the third meeting. So if we discuss it in July and discuss it again in August, we would read it again in September and vote on it.
Vote to adopt.
It says two subsequent hearings, and then it's voted on at the third meeting.
Okay.
The bylaws may be amended by a majority vote of the members at a regular meeting, providing that such amendment is read at two successive meetings preceding the meeting at which the vote is taken.
Okay, so
and
that's
three.
This qualifies as discussion tonight.
Yes.
So two more meetings.
So then we have one more, and then I would think if we're going to do this, if we do it in September, that maybe we do this first, so that at the September meeting, the alternates can sit with us.
Okay.
Because I think they bring a different perspective, and I think it's important to get that perspective at the hearings. I know there were times when Mark said things and I thought, oh, I never thought about that. Yeah. And things that he knows.
It's a good perspective.
To his business, there was something you asked someone about septic design, and I thought, whoa, I would have never known to ask that question. So I think it's important for everyone's eyes to look at that and to be able to participate, and then Bob can just say, you know, we've closed, now that we've closed the public hearing, only the full members of the board will be participating in this
that's
discussion.
That's probably something that would be important.
Yeah,
very
and
important.
Just say, you know, Mr. Steinmetz and Mr. Ramakaitis will not not participate.
Yeah,
in
this. Portion,
that probably solves the.
That's good.
Yeah.
Do we anticipate any problems getting cooperation with the Board of Selectmen on a warrant article?
No,
pretty easy, yeah?
We'll draft it and discuss it. And I'll bring a draft back at our next meeting.
Okay.
See if you guys approve the draft. Then I'll present it to the Board of Selectmen.
Yeah, and just look, and you know which section in that, in that manual.
You gave me the reference.
Yeah.
I'll find the RSA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I was reading through that paperwork, and Mr. Steinmetz will get copies of what we're talking about. There's a manual from the state that explains how the Board of Adjustment works.
I gave him that, and I gave him the bylaws as well.
Oh, good. So you have some fun reading, so you won't have to watch Netflix again tonight.
All right.
No. You can have that if you'd like.
Mark's got a comment on Judith's notes.
Yeah, not necessarily in the notes, but on the point that was brought up regarding that the town has never approved the use of all alternates. Yeah. So the question I have is, are we putting some decisions that might be a 3-2 vote into some jeopardy because we haven't met the requirement of the state statute?
We are.
It's confirmed.
Of course.
Yeah.
So I mean, not to take myself out of a job that I like, but the board may want to consider not having alternates actually vote in these situations, because technically, based on what I heard tonight, I'm not really fully authorized to be here.
That's
Mark,
correct.
We've been doing it wrong for 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
Another year, another 6 months,
yeah.
And we haven't heard a
thing.
And
only these,
there only has
exactly
to be a quorum
right.
to vote.
That's correct. Of all the years I've been here, we've never had, I don't know, maybe a handful of divisive votes.
Yeah. It's just a point.
And never contentious, but you're right.
Are occasions when it's gone 3-2.
It's rare that an alternate.
It's rare. It's rare that that it's an alternate that's on the board that's making the decision.
You're right. So
we'll move on covering ourselves.
Well, I also know that you give the applicants the opportunity to say, no, I do not want, well, if we have, if there's four people here, they can choose not to proceed, but if there's five and one's an alternate, they don't get that option, is that true?
That's correct.
Yeah, okay.
Even if that alternate is not,
No, an alternate is considered a full board member.
I mean, we were, I was sworn, but there's a little, you know, hiccup here.
There is.
But, so again, it's probably important, and I think board knows that, that the selectmen, you know, produce the document and we get it on the ballot, make it clear as an issue.
Well, the other thing is, there's something, and I think it has to do with time, how close you are to the voting, but once something is noticed, once a change to the ordinance is noticed, that you're bound by the change.
Yeah, that's right.
And until the election, and then when the election comes, if it's passed, then it goes, and if it doesn't, then you go back to the original.
Yeah, that's true with zoning amendments, maybe.
But yeah.
It could be with this.
Yeah, and I mean, that's something that we could find out.
All right.
All right.
Does that put that to bed?
It does.
Are you all set with that, Lisa? You know what you're doing?
I'm gonna make a copy of this, Boyd, that's the language that Judy was talking about.
Yeah.
So you can do the warrant article.
Also in, as I'm reading some...
Oh, that's not for the warrant. Oh, that's just for us.
That's for the bylaws.
That's for the bylaws.
That's for the bylaws.
I meant that, sorry.
Okay, and I figured they went in between three and four, so this would be three, this would be four, I think that's the way it goes. After three, so then this one would be four.
This would be four?
This would be four, this one would be five, and then what is four would then be six. So that would be four, that would be five, and then the next, this is just the reference from the, this here is just the reference from the, what we need to pass.
So
it.
If any member,
page,
we'll start number six.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's just the reference from what we need, that last part where we, what we need to do to pass it.
Okay.
That we had to have the two subsequent meetings,
this.
Two successive meetings,
yep.
And
I'll
then.
Keep this with our notes then.
Okay.
Okay.
And I had one other comment, and that was, I'm reading through some things. I read where it says, the Board of Adjustment and Planning Board should meet periodically, ideally once a year, to review zoning ordinances, to keep it current and maintain administrative efficiencies. Again, that's something we've never done before. It's not a rule, it's a suggestion. Well, I just want to have a discussion on that.
So say that again, the Board of...
The Board of Adjustment and the Planning Board should meet periodically, ideally once a year.
You're saying it should have a joint meeting?
That's correct.
A joint meeting to discuss... And that, if you remember last year, we sent the things over sent and to them, and we used to keep a list of suggestions, you know, places
the,
where...
We call it the Boyd Chivers list.
Yeah, places where we had places where we felt that the ordinance needed to be adjusted, like this thing right here, which is...
Yeah.
But that's a selectman issue. I don't think that comes out of the planning board. That comes out... That's a town...
Right.
Not planning,
right.
But
do we have business with the planning board? Is there something going on? Do we need to talk to them about zoning? Do we need to talk to them about agricultural designation instead of residential or residential/ag? I only asked the question.
Well, I think there was that whole issue of home occupations that was not addressed.
Right. The home service contractors.
The home service contractors. Last year, and
that's always dealt.
That's on our list. That is on the list for the planning board. They are going to be discussing that. They have a few things that they want to go forth on.
Are they putting the thing on with the trucking in there? Are they putting?
That's going to be changed.
But is it going to? I mean, the first two sections of that were good. That third section that allowed trucking in residential areas was
going to be discussed.
Well, is it appropriate that we have a joint meeting? I'm asking the question. I don't know.
If we have anything to discuss, let's not have a meeting, okay? There should be a purpose behind a meeting.
Asking the question because it's suggesting that we meet. We've never met, and I don't know if it's appropriate. So I ask the question. If it's not appropriate, then we move on.
Well, let's think about it, and if there's something we can get benefit, some way that, you know, something productive could happen as a result, we should have a meeting, but just to go back and forth.
Mm-hmm. And so I asked the question, do we have any business? I guess not.
I have a question, though. As far as the applications that come in, sometimes what we're seeing is that they do need to go before you guys. So would that be something that you guys would come together with them just to, I mean, if they needed a variance instead,
You mean have a joint meeting so that
have the joint meeting so everything is situated at one?
I don't think so, because it's two separate meetings.
Yeah, two separate notices, too.
They used to have them in the town. I found information on them, and it's in our orange book, too, so...
It becomes a two-step process when they need a variance as a result of some kind of a planning effort, so...
Well, it used to not be, that's what I'm asking, because there is a section that has, that is for joint meetings.
I'm trying to remember if we've ever had, I mean...
I can't remember.
I've been on the board for 30 years, and I don't remember, I don't remember doing it.
To me, the boards have two separate functions. To me, they should have two separate functions.
But they both, and they do...
There's crossover, I understand, but...
There is crossover, and they fall under land use. So if we don't need to have a meeting, I didn't mean to stir something up. I was asking a question on something I read.
No, that's good, because like I said, I have found stuff in the books that have, you know, mentioned the joint meetings, and I didn't know if you guys have done it or still do it or would do it.
I don't ever remember one.
Okay.
I think it would be a special purpose if something came up.
Well, I know that there are times when a subdivision needs a variance to do something. And they have to come before us, then they go back before the board. But I think that, as Bob was saying, that the issues, they're so separate that
Leave it alone.
Different standards.
There's different standards, and the thing is, this is a quasi-judicial board. It's very strict. I mean, you meet the standard or you don't. They're working with the zoning ordinance, but they're also working with subdivision regulations. The subdivision regulations are written by that board. They're regulations. They can change or waive any of those regulations. Our job is to waive the ordinance, to look at the underlying ordinance and say, do you meet the criteria, the five criteria set for by the state that allows us to grant you a variance from this particular section? They could just look and say, we'll give you a waiver for that. We'll give you a waiver for this. They don't have to meet any standards. Right. They just say, yeah, we like you, we'll do it.
Right.
We can't do it. We have very specific standards for granting variances.
I didn't want to belabor the point. Moving on to the next thing, we'll approve minutes, please. We have the public and non-public meeting minutes to approve. Judith was not here on that particular day of May 28th, so she will abstain.
No, I will abstain, yes.
But Mark was here.
So we have enough members here to vote on the minutes.
We have one, two,
you know,
three,
Mark
four.
Mark sat on the board, didn't he?
Yep. Yes, he did.
I move the minutes for May 28th, the public minutes be approved as accepted.
Second of that?
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Four members voting aye.
Now, when you get to the non-public minutes, I wrote that prefix the following morning upon reflection on how we conducted our non-public meeting. And it's kind of acknowledges the mistakes we made and clarifies the record. That's why those first three paragraphs are in there. I think it's very important.
Say that again, boy.
He's talking about non-public, right?
Yeah, I know. I'm talking about,
he's talking about this.
Well, if you weren't there, Julie, so you don't...
No, I know. I know. No, I've read the stuff online. It's got to be here. Board did not fully comply with the RTK law. What is RTK?
Right to know.
Oh, right to know laws. It applies to me. As a result of the discussion of whether the meeting was to be considered a non-meeting or something from...
And the exception to that would have been the board may meet any time to discuss legal matters with their legal counsel present.
Right.
And they were not. That's what got us in Dutch.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly right.
So based on that...
Actually, talking about it was the issue, because we had, like, Mark hadn't gone over the information or anything, so if they had sat here and not said anything, just gone over it, went into the meeting, it would have been fine as well. But
we discussed
to discuss it, and it wasn't noticed.
Mm-hmm.
So council just said, from now on, do everything as a, you know, as the
public.
Non-public. Right. It covers everything, no issue. No question.
I want to correct you. As public.
As public or non-public?
As a non-public, if we notice it as a non-public.
Yeah.
Right.
Even if we have a question about it, like we had in that circumstance.
Even if we do nothing, so we're still going to have minutes and a roll call.
Just.
Okay.
Okay, we're in like a real meeting.
Yeah.
Yep, just notice it every time. Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
So if you're satisfied with these minutes, I move we approve the non-public minutes from May 28th. And then my next motion will be that we seal those minutes.
I second that motion, including the motion to seal the minutes. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Four voting members?
And I'm abstaining. I was not here.
Good. So probably that those first paragraphs weren't necessary, but
it's appropriate
to have them in there.
Yeah.
Yep.
But we didn't want to try to bury anything.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Thanks for getting those details in print. All right.
And then Lisa got it straightened out with counsel on how to take minutes and what the right process is.
Indeed.
In a non-public meeting.
As we continue to learn, you'll be learning.
You're going to find Mr. Steinmetz. The state right to know law has real teeth. Uh-huh. Okay, and it's something that we have to be very conscious about.
All right, that does it for our agenda items. Is there a motion to adjourn?
No,
I'm sorry, Ron.
I'm sorry.
I have a quick question.
Go ahead.
Remove my.
And maybe I just never noticed it before. On our agenda, it doesn't say any place here approval of minutes of whatever meeting.
It's on the top, old business. Approval of minutes.
Approval of minutes, May 28th.
Okay, I missed it. Okay.
There you go.
All right, Judith, you said you had something else you wanted to talk about.
I did? I don't.
Didn't you?
Sorry, no.
Did we do the same for the approval of the non, Boyd and Ron, for the non-public as well as the public?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, the same four voters.
It says approval. I see. I see what you're saying.
Who voted?
Yeah.
What else have we got?
Move to adjourn. Ronnie just made a motion.
Yep. Ron made that motion?
I guess I did. Sure.
Yeah.
I think you did.
Yeah.
Motion made by Ron, seconded by Boyd. Yep. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Motion carries for adjournment.